Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news for 30 years in two languages all over the world. Here in the U.S., I've interviewed four U.S. presidents, worked at four of the U.S.'s major television networks. I don't like what they do. See, I think news should be honest and direct and impactful. This is Direct Impact. The Walt Disney Company recently reported it lost $900 million in movies that, well, just didn't do so well because people decided they didn't want to go see them. That's almost $1 billion. Now, just how many box office flops has Disney incurred? Well, let's look at the numbers, where we learn that the last eight big movies that Disney released did not do well, not at all. Guardians of the Galaxy, The Little Mermaid, And if you think those are bad, Strange World, Lightyear, even worse. Some are calling them complete failures in the industry. So what gives, right? I mean, those sound like solid titles, solid themes, which in the past would have done great for Disney, right? So what's different? Well, the difference is the characters have been changed, right? They've been modified, not just modernized, no. They've been given progressive makeovers. And that is making many Americans think that Disney has just gone too far and that they no longer represent them. For example, on Quora, one of America's most popular question and answer platforms, this question pops up. Why do we see so many gay and lesbian characters in almost all of US movies or TV series? Most of the comments sounded like this, quote, "This honestly drives me insane. I will start by saying that I have nothing against homosexuals or transgenders or whatever else there are out there these days, but it's getting out of control." Stop quote. And there's this comment. "I agree. The gay agenda is being thrown in our faces, whether we want it or not." Look, as far as we're concerned, whether there's a gay agenda at Disney and it exists or it doesn't exist, it's not for us to take on. I'd rather just look at the numbers, the research. And here's what it says. According to Gallup, roughly 7% of Americans identify as gay, lesbian, or transsexual. 7%. That means it would be perfectly normal and expected to see occasionally, or 7% of the time, or more, characters on TV and in movies who are gay or lesbian or transsexual, right? Perfectly normal. But what many Americans say they see, and what studies seem to show, is that it's not occasional, far from it. It's more like omnipresent or everywhere. In fact, while only 7% of Americans may identify as LGBT, in movies, they're more like, at a minimum, 20%. Don't take my word for it. This is a study that's done by GLAAD. This is a nonprofit organization that advocates for LGBT. According to their report, 1/5 of all the movies that are made in Hollywood have at least one LGBT character. That means, according to Hollywood, 25% of America is gay, lesbian, or transsexual. Now, is that reality? Not even close, right? That means Hollywood is portraying an America that isn't like the real America. Yet, according to GLAAD, Hollywood isn't doing enough. They want to make sure that America is more representative of gay, lesbian, and transsexuals. Well, that's what they advocate, to be fair. According to GLAAD, Hollywood still has, quote, a long way to go to get it right. What they argue is that we should be seeing more gay characters. And so far, companies like Lionsgate and Paramount Pictures and Sony Pictures and United Artists and Universal Pictures, Walt Disney Studios, Warner Brothers seem to agree because they are, in fact, casting more LGBT characters. But apparently not enough, according to GLAAD. Studies do show that a growing number of Americans, among those Americans who support LGBT rights, they actually support LGBT rights, but they're sometimes uncomfortable sitting down to watch television with their families and seeing an America that doesn't resemble the America that they have come to know. For them, it's not a question of accepting LGBT. It's about watching TV shows, commercials, and movies that tell them every family must have a gay uncle or a lesbian aunt or an LGBT son or a daughter or a grandparent, even though real demographics don't bear that out. But that's not the only issue where Hollywood is kind of losing America. The fact of the matter is, viewers who take in TV and movies in America kind of get a distorted sense of who we really are. Men, for example. Men. They're generally emasculated in the media these days, and have been for about a decade or so. The leading man used to be a dude who was strong and not afraid to show his virility and his aggressiveness. Sometimes maybe too much, sure. But that's now been replaced by a softer version of man. It's worse. Men are often actually presented as stupid, clumsy, not capable. Whether you're watching a commercial or a movie or a TV show, that's what you're going to see. They always have to be corrected by somebody else, especially women. Because women, on the other hand, are now the superheroes. They're the tough cops with all the right karate chops, while men have to be saved by them. Women are also generally smarter and more capable than men in Hollywood, according to movies and according to commercials or how they're portrayed. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Men still make more money than women in Hollywood, and that's not right. But when it comes to image, it's not even close. And that, say some social psychologists and sociologists, is having kind of an adverse effect on boys who are growing up in America who are just kind of confused. Like, what's my role supposed to be? Fact is, the world that Hollywood creates is simply nothing like the world that we live in. Latin Americans, for example, Hispanic Americans, they make up almost 20% of the population of the United States. That means they're 1/5 of the population, right? Yet when you watch TV and movies, according to studies, they barely even are visible. Even though they're 20% of the population, they make up only 3% of the characters that you see on TV and in movies. And how are they presented in those movies? Criminals, cleaning ladies, drug dealers. African Americans, for example, have it much better these days. After all those years of being treated horribly by Hollywood, now, even though they only make up 13% of the population, they seem omnipresent in movies. Good. You see them in TV commercials and in TV shows. By most accounts, as seen by many casual TV viewers, African Americans seem to represent anywhere between 25 to 50% of the population, even though demographically, that's nowhere near correct. And by the way, more often than not, they are presented positively by Hollywood, cast as professionals and doctors and business people and lawyers. White Southerners, for example, are cast as poor dolts, uneducated bigots. The question isn't whether one group is better than the other. Obviously, the reality of America is that it's filled with wonderful stories of great achievers who are Black, who are African American, former slaves, also Asians, and white, and Hispanic, and every hue in between. The question is, does Hollywood skew demographic reality, and in so doing, is it losing America's trust in general? Most conservatives, of course, say yes. But they're not alone when it comes to not trusting Hollywood. Many Americans, including liberals, discovered a long time ago that Hollywood is not the place you want to go to better understand the world or the country that we live in. In fact, Hollywood has had a history of lying to us, flat out lying to us. No place is it more audacious, more malignant than its relationship with the military. Did you know that the Defense Department has a special office, a special department within the department that works with Hollywood to approve and even help write and produce the movies that you watch? It seems that this is how they get us, for example. If you think about it, put yourself in the times of all these things that happen in the United States. Those movies and those TV shows is how they got us to hate the Vietnamese one day, but then they switched to the Iraqis or the Afghanis the next. Then there's the terrorists, who all, by Hollywood standards, tend to be violent Arabs. Russians are bullies. The Chinese are sneaky. Now remember, the Japanese used to be sneaky, but that's no longer the case. Because Hollywood decided to reassign the sneaky thing from the Japanese now to the Chinese. Because somebody in, I guess, the Pentagon or the State Department made that decision. Talk about marching orders. Here's the point. According to research conducted in places like the University of Georgia, Hollywood is in bed with the U.S. State Department and the Pentagon, so much so that if you want to make a movie and they don't like it, it's probably not going to be seen.
So say you're a producer and you want to make a war film.
You would walk into the entertainment liaison office in downtown Los Angeles.
You say, I want to film at an Air Force base, or I want an aircraft carrier, or I want some Black Hawk helicopters, or whatever it is.
And they would tell you straight away, give us your entire script.
In the documentary, Theaters of War, that you just saw a piece of, producers and directors explain how the Pentagon insists on control of their message. That means you have to turn your script, literally, over to them.
Some people probably would say, well, yeah, I've heard of this, like the Top Gun, maybe Black Hawk Down, maybe some of the Marvel series.
But what they don't know is how systematic this has been and how huge this operation has been.
You can call it censorship, you can call it propaganda. It's all of these things.
Censorship, propaganda. That says, those are the words of Oliver Stone. Now, he is one of the few directors who has succeeded without seeking the approval from the Pentagon. Somehow he's been able to bypass it, but that's one in a million. So just how pronounced is the State Department's hold on the message that we receive in movies? The producers of Theater of War did a Freedom of Information Act to try and get those details, those numbers, which they say when they saw them, they were stunned.
What we've found is that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of products have been affected and are often rewritten at script level by the national security state in the United States. Do normal people know about that? No, of course they don't.
By the way, what do you say we continue this conversation, you and I? What do you say we go to Twitter? I'm there, you're there, call it X, call it what you want. There, I'm Rick Sanchez TV. Rick Sanchez TV. I'll be looking for you when we come back. How Hollywood sells out, not just in terms of a fake America that they create, but also how they sell out to the State Department and the Pentagon, who they allow to rewrite their scripts, as I mentioned earlier. I just find that amazing. We'll be right back. Joining us now to talk about this is Ted Rall. He's a political cartoonist, and you can find him, by the way, at rall.com, R-A-L-L.com. Of course, you can find him anywhere else because he's very published, also very controversial, which may be one of the reasons that we have him on this show. Ted, let's get to it. What do you say?
Let's do it.
So last night, I was watching a movie with my wife. I went to Apple TV. And I was watching this Jennifer Garner. I wrote down the title. The Last Thing He Told Me is the name of this series. Good series. You can tell it's well done. They put some money behind it and stuff. But right as soon as I started watching it, I saw something that stood out for me as just an average, boring American guy, you know, or Hispanic American guy. They interview Jennifer Garner. She's being Jennifer Garner. But then all of a sudden, her associate is an African-American woman who is immediately, like in one of the first scenes, is kissing her lesbian girlfriend. And I'm just thinking, is that really necessary? But, you know, fine. The fact that she's African-American, then the next character is also somebody who is obviously a gay. Most of the actors are ethnic African-American. And I'm saying this as a guy, Ted. There is no worse atrocity in the history of our country than what we did to African Americans. And they deserve to be put in a place now where people can understand them as something other than the way we used to treat them in Hollywood and the way we treated them across the board. But unfortunately, that's not what's happened. It's not honest. What I see when I turn on movies and when I see Hollywood is not what America looks like, but what they're trying for America to be. There may be 3% of the population that's gay. That's great. And they need to be represented, but not 50%. African-Americans are 13% of the population. They're not 60%. So it's creating this backlash, this anti-Hollywood, anti-movie, anti-entertainment backlash, which is creating a rift in America. That's my perspective. What's yours?
Look, I've experienced it personally. I pitch stuff to Hollywood quite often. I have a project right now in development. And I had another project that was based on one of my own books. It was called Real Americans Admit the Worst Thing I've Ever Done. Basically the show that was, it was pitched to me. Someone came to me and said, we'd like to turn this into a TV show. And basically I was going to be the host. I was going to be the MC. And then we were going to sort of have people recreate the worst thing that they'd ever done in episode after episode.
Yeah.
At one point they come to me and they said, you know, there's this problem. You're a white guy. And we're wondering, you know, do you care if the host is not you? I'm like, I don't care if the host is not me.
Yeah.
I have other things to do. It's like, do you care if the host is black, for example, or another person of color? I'm like, no, I don't care. And then they're like, oh God, but it really should be you because you wrote the book. And I'm like, well, you guys got to decide what you want to do. I can't become black. I'm just, this is who I am. And in the end, the whole project fell apart because they couldn't unspool that. They said that they couldn't, this production company said that there just was no bandwidth in Hollywood these days for projects that either showcase a white male, straight, cis normative, able-bodied star, much less an MC. And, you know, I noticed similar things. I'm in the world of book publishing. I went to a local independent bookstore the other day. All the books on the center table that are featured, they're all, it's just like you described, right? It's sort of like, you know, My First Lesbian Kiss or whatever. And I'm kind of like thinking, this is so American. We go from a world where black people never saw themselves on TV.
Right.
Ever. Chico and the Man was a revolutionary show for Chicanos, right? And then it's like now we're like white people may not see themselves on TV. But this is a diverse country, as you point out.
Right. Like I don't think either one of us would classify ourselves or could be classified as people who are either racist or don't want other people to be seen on TV. It's just that when I turn on my TV, it doesn't look anything like the America that I live in. I want gay representation. I want gays. It's okay if you want to throw in a trans character from time to time. I certainly want African Americans and Asian Americans and everybody else. By the way, Hispanics are 20% of the population. We're only drug dealers in movies for some reason. But so it ain't us. It ain't us, you know?
No, it's not us. And like the thing is, you know, if blacks are 14% of the population, then ish, they should be in front of our eyes roughly 14% of the time, ish, in all arenas, right?
But are they? But are they? Because I got numbers. I can show you. They're somewhere between 35 and 55.
That's kind of insane. And, you know, I was thinking about, you may have seen this old movie. I think it's from the 80s or early 90s called Boomerang. Uh-huh. It was Eddie Murphy was the star. And it was an experiment.
Great movie.
It was an experimental film. Great movie. Takes place in an office. And without comment, everyone in the film is black, right? It's in an office. I think it's a legal office, but there's no clerks who are white. Everyone's just black. And the fact that they're black isn't really central to the plot. It's just a world where everyone's a black American. It's cool, but it's an experiment. And that is becoming what Hollywood looks like for real. And it's like, that's not a correction. A correction is where you make pop culture look the way that society looks.
I think we both agree. There's something weird that they're creating a world that doesn't exist. And for some reason, they're manipulating it. Now, what is the cause, right? There's a couple of different things that we can talk about here. The first is the people in those professions who are in management and make the decisions, that's what they believe. In other words, there likely is a majority of people in Hollywood, for example, who tend to be very woke, very liberal. You know, I don't want to go into the woke discussion too much, but they probably tend to be more gay. They probably tend to be living in a world that makes them want to do that. That might be one of the reasons. You agree?
I think that's part of it. I mean, you know, I saw a Bill Maher sketch where he was talking about how, you know, there's it's very likely if you're in like Manhattan where I live or L.A. where he lives that, you know, you'll know a parent who has, say, a transgender child. You know, not so likely if you're from Youngstown, Ohio. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. And there's something to that. That world is more diverse. But I also think It's sort of a very corporate kind of way of looking at problems. It's mm-hmm. like, it's sort of very simplistic. It's like, okay, well, we, you know, someone from the you have your new CEO of DEI comes over yeah. and tells you, CEO Rick, we have this problem at our company. We don't have nearly enough people of color. And so you think to yourself, you know, instead of thinking, okay, well, we need to up that up, we need to increase that. You're like, okay, no more white hires. Only bring in people of color. Like right. it's like we don't have enough. We don't have enough.
Like women. In your case,
no
where they
more black.
You want to tell your story and it's about you, but they want to make it about somebody else because they don't think it fits. They need to do it about that. By the way, yeah. for those of you watching us around the world and you don't understand the word that Ted just used, it's diversity, equality. What is
inclusion.
What's the last one?
Inclusion.
And that's actually something now that has become part of the nomenclature for those of us here in the United States. If you work in a corporation, that has become a sort of mantra for your company nowadays. And I even have a little bit of a problem with that. Not that I have a problem with either of those words. I have a problem with the fact that they're kind of creating, mandating it, you know?
Well, it's the fact that it's so ham-fisted and clumsy, right? It's oafish. It's like there's no grace to it. I mean, to be reasonable, you kind of have to say, well, okay. I mean, look, people say life is not a zero-sum game. And when it comes to employment and exposure, it is. Every minute that I'm on this show, someone else is not on this show, right? So
right.
This is like, so when it comes to this sort of thing, like, you know, I recently had a friend suggest to me, oh, you know, hey, have you tried to reach out to XYZ Media Corporation about maybe seeing if they'll hire you? And then I'm like, are you serious? I'm exactly the demographic that they're trying to fire.
Hey, it's a delight to talk to you, Ted. You're a smart guy, and I appreciate your work, and I appreciate the conversation. Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Thanks, Rick. So fun.
Hey, before we go, I want to remind you of our mission here. Simple, really. We want to de-silo the world. We've got to stop living in these little boxes where we only know our truths. Truths don't live in little boxes. They're everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'll be looking for you right here, where I hope to provide you with a direct impact.